A Real Pain follows two cousins who, after their grandmother dies, go to Poland to go on a Holocaust tour and visit some of the sites where their family used to live. This is the new film directed by and starring Jesse Eisenberg. Also stars Kieran Culkin, and it was just recently acquired by Searchlight Pictures for $10 million, a pretty big sale here out of Sundance. It's one of the movies that I was most anticipating. I'm a big fan of Jesse Eisenberg's.
Same.
And, we also all liked his last movie that premiered here at Sundance. Mm-hmm.
When You Finish Saving the World.
When You Finish Saving the World. And I think we all think this is a step up from that one as well.
Yeah, this is definitely another one of our sophomore step ups of the festival, and it's all from his own brain.
And I think it's a lot better.
It's a lot better. I think it's significantly better.
Yeah, because you and I really vibed with what he was going for in the last one. Mm-hmm. I think he's entered a whole other level that's going to reach a lot more people than what his last one did, because I felt that a lot of people were kind of maybe turned off by the awkwardness of it, which you and I were like, that's the whole point.
Yes, yes.
It's how awkward people can be. Here it's so internal on trauma that you're going to laugh, you're going to cry, you're going to take it in and not forget a lot of the moments that happened in this movie.
And there's
going
to be a moment that you're like, is it going to be hopeful? And that's going to bring you back right to that opening scene, and you're going to feel so emotionally destroyed inside. And it's both. It is still hopeful, but like...
Well, it's a movie that's like looking at open wounds in a way, right? And it's not about closing them or whatever. It's sort of just like accepting them for what they are. And I think one of the things that I really appreciate about how the movie handles itself is just the weight of the relationships that these characters have. Mm-hmm. I've said that this is the best movie I've ever seen about cousins, because it gets at that idea of like there's a closeness but also a distance.
What about a TV show? Like The Bear.
Which TV show?
The Bear. It's got a cousin. And I'm trying to think of other cousins.
He's not an actual cousin, though, is that?
Even then, what am I talking about? Like, I don't care if there's other ones. Yeah, this thing was insane.
This was insane.
As of right now, it is my favorite of the festival. It does everything you want in a movie.
I've got that, and it's what's inside. They're so completely polar opposite movies, but they are my two favorites for sure. And a lot of it is I also just felt really personally connected to it as a Polish Jew, as a guy who has complicated relationships with cousins. But
did I say cousins?
But I also just think it, like the way that it articulates the things that it's going for is really, really interesting. And
very smart.
Everybody is carrying these different bits of their own trauma with them, and you know, it's an exploration through this like historically tragic time, but also the ripple effects of that and the ways that it resonates with people. And I think particularly it's really interesting the way that he's trying to incorporate non-Jewish cultures into telling the story too.
Yes. And as we've seen, some people do not like that, but I think that's what makes it so profound, because what you're like, how you're saying it, it's not just reflecting back on trauma and wallowing in it. It's trying to showcase how, okay, you went through that. Now, how can you help the next person? See, their trauma over there, it's not an Olympics on who did it worse. Mm-hmm. It's that person found solace in somebody else's trauma that was different from their own, but they knew the pain, and that's how people help each other through. And seeing that story through the cousins, and as you learn more about their relationship and then how he compares it to what they're realizing in Poland and their lives, and there's in particular this line about three different generations and how they cope with something that I'm like... This is like the American fiction, here's the three whiskeys, and kind of telling you the whole point of the movie and that thing. That one line delivered during a dinner scene, I thought was so profound and really establishes the whole movie. And I thought it's one of those that you carry with you and you like forget about the characters. You apply what happened to them to the people in your life. Like you were saying, your cousins, like your grandparents, like. Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, because it's not just the relationship between these two young men. It's the relationship that they have with their family and the history of the family that they carry sort of on their shoulders.
What are they doing after what they're... ancestors went through
which the movie itself has an added layer of profundity, because they have this scene where they go to their grandmother's old house and they shot that outside the old Eisenberg family home, which is just
filmed.
gives
guns
filmed,
as
filmed,
I
yeah.
was confused at.
But
it makes it personal though.
It makes it really personal, and it makes it feel really lived in and real. And the other thing that I think just adds to that authenticity are those performances from Eisenberg and from Culkin.
Like absolutely
you believe they have this long dynamic.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then
you
for him to say that Kieran wasn't reading the script.
Yeah.
He wouldn't go up to rehearsal or came late to rehearsal.
He said, what are we doing today? He's like, it's three pages of you giving a monologue.
Five
He's like, let me look through them.
That I wrote 2 years ago.
And I'm telling you right now, you hear that off of a bad movie and you go, that explains it. You watch this and then hear that and go, how? But I guess that explains it. For something to feel so lived in.
It has to feel like
out.
It's authentic.
But then,
because
it's his ad-libbing that he's done through Succession, where he's able to find these little moments. So you're like, of course that's an authentic moment, because that wasn't scripted. He built up to the script and then did a funny thing with like the tour guide or with like another character. And he's so good. He's just riding that Kieran Culkin wave right now. And to see it in a great movie is fantastic. To go from Succession and the Emmy wins to this. Yep. What a year for the boy.
What a year for the boy.
He is incredible in this. Yeah. And so is Jesse. And so is Jesse.
Jesse, really.
Culkin's got that kind of mercurial, impish energy that Roman Roy has, where he's unpredictable and a little bit wild, a little bit inappropriate.
You love him and you love to hate him.
But the other thing is that, like, unlike Roman's the performance of Roman, there is that heart underneath it.
And
that like, real sweetness that he's able to bring to the role. Yeah. And I just thought he was incredible.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In this movie. I also really think Jesse Eisenberg is incredible in this movie.
Yeah.
I think he's using that kind of tightly wound thing that we know him well for as a way of sort of portraying the ways that certain people kind of push their pain down.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing about this movie is like constantly Karen's character is like, you used to cry so much. And he's like, it's not
to
fun.
Feel.
Who wants, that crazy, and then it's like, you want to feel. But then it's like, but who wants to be the one who's crying all the time?
Yeah.
Who wants to be that? Yeah. No one wants to be that.
I have problems, but people don't need to hear them.
Yeah. Exactly.
And they're both dealing with it in different ways.
And then my life feels like it should be perfect, and I don't see that for you, and now I feel guilty about that, and I don't want to feel that way anymore, you know? Like,
in an incredibly empathetic film to the ways that different people process different types of pain.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That not trying to qualify some pain as better or worse or whatever than others, or some methods as better or worse than others, just displaying it in a really lived and feel really reality feeling way.
Yeah. That generational trauma, you know?
Yeah.
People, you could have grandparents who were busy leaving a country. The next of kin was busy trying to survive in the next country. They never mourned.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got a generation who's dealing with all that guilt and all that weight because they don't know how to process it anywhere else.
And they still just feel bad.
Yeah. And they're the ones feeling the guilt that everybody else was never able to process because they were too busy surviving. Mm-hmm. And now the new ones don't know how to live.
I get it.
I thought it was going to be good. I didn't think it was going to be great.
Yeah.
It's great. And there's so many little moments like, you know, like the... him looking so peaceful when he's sleeping, but when you look at Culkin's, but that's funny. But when I don't know if you notice, if you look at Kieran's character when he's sleeping, his brow is always furrowed.
Yeah,
he does not sleep peacefully.
Exactly.
And then when he wakes up, he is like, it takes him a while to boot in, and like it's those little moments mm-hmm. you really notice of this person who's just so clearly swept up in any kind of emotion that mm-hmm. they have, and how overwhelming that can be.
Yeah, the characters are extremely well observed. You were talking about this when we came out of the movie, but like it feels so. Authentic that it might be based very closely to his own.
He said it was.
Yeah, but like, we don't know how far.
Right, like
we don't
how closely how it parallels his experience. And it could be direct, it could be not, but like there's certainly a lot of it there.
Sorry. One of the other things was I had told you guys that there was no score in this, and then we find out that it's because there's like a bunch of piano themes going on. One, he said a joke about it, and then the other one was the more deeper, which is he took piano lessons, and I mm-hmm. think he also took piano lessons with his cousin. So what you're getting is a movie where instead of a score, it's that personal side of all the like songs that they learned together.
Yeah.
When it was more intimate mm-hmm. for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of like Chopin.
Yeah.
It's a lot of Chopin music, and Chopin is probably the greatest Polish composer.
Yeah. And then, of course, he's so funny, and he goes, they were royalty-free. So they were copyright-free.
There you go.
It's a really effective thing there, and you just see a lot of these moments. And again, you don't need to know them, but you could just sense it.
You can sense
this. This is really personal, too.
It's like Past Lives, where you can tell that it's like that one is very, very close, and this probably is, too, but it still feels like it transcends to all experiences.
And the director's the actor.
Yeah, and the director's the actor, you know? Like, you know it's personal, but it doesn't make it feel like this is just an hour and a half of somebody, like,
you told me
themselves
this.
Off.
Mm-hmm. He has his family, but also playing his family.
Yeah, his son in the film is his real-life son.
Like, we have a lot of movies.
I didn't even know Jesse had a kid.
I did not realize that either, but it's like these things that they're putting in movies that are 100% breaking the fourth wall without even letting you know. But it's just like, it's still like these director stamps that they're putting in there, for themselves, and it doesn't take away from it.
I know sometimes people just want to throw things in, and it actually makes the movie inaccessible to general audiences. Yeah. This doesn't feel like that.
It's more like Nolan doing it by putting his like daughter in there. Like, it doesn't take away from the movie, but when you find that out, you're like, oh, that's interesting for that scene and what it means.
Yeah,
in terms of that turmoil. And I don't know, I thought Hiro was beautiful. Yeah.
Did you want it to go deeper at all?
No.
I don't know how much of it is just like, I loved spending time with these characters and in this mood that I could have just watched an extra hour of it.
I agree with Kieran.
Yeah, I could have.
I agree with Kieran. But Fact City, right. How about more? Yeah. Just feeling it.
Right.
Yeah. That's a big line that he has in there. And I think all of what you're saying could have gone deeper is there. But yeah. It's for you to take the next step. Yeah.
Right.
I think there are moments.
It doesn't need it.
Yeah, they're going and they're doing a tour thing and they see something and they start crying. Mm-hmm. And I think if you rewatch the movie after you learn everything about them, you will realize a thing. You will realize things that certain characters have seen in the past. So what they're seeing there is them finally crying about something they may have not cried about in the past. Yeah. And
for sure.
Yeah, that's what makes it one of the best movies of Sundance.
It's one of the best.
It is the most that I've cried during a movie in a long time. And again, I have some personal reasons for that. I'm just immensely thankful for its existence. Yeah. And I think there will be a lot of people who really resonate with what it's saying, what it's trying to say, what it wants us to feel about other people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't want to get too explicit with it, but I think the arc of the film just really, really kind of lands the plane perfectly. It leaves you in this note that, like, you kind of feel it in your chest.
Oh, yeah.
Profound final shot.
Yeah. Is it ever?
I don't think anything's beat it yet.
No, I don't think anything's going to beat that final shot.
Yeah. So, yeah, we all absolutely strongly recommend this one. As I mentioned earlier, it is picked up by Searchlight.
Which is good.
Yeah,
I think that's a company, but the company's different now under Disney. So are you worried that it's going to just go straight to Hulu? Because you've had a lot of other favorite movies. You guys really liked Palm Springs. One of the biggest pickups.
That got hit pandemic, though. That I know. Pandemic. That
but there's so many other ones that they have not pushed.
That's true. Yeah. My hope is that
they, by investing as much as they did in it, by being Searchlight, which has done the awards play, that they'll give it that kind of like fall awards run and put it into a decent number of theaters before it does hit streaming.
I wonder if that was part of the deal.
Mm-hmm. I would hope so. I mean, you know, the streamers are out there offering a lot of money, but as we saw with Lulu Wang a few years ago, not everybody wants to go that way with their movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, recommendations across the board. Hopefully everybody 100%. Gets a chance to check out A Real Pain really soon.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's available virtually. It's virtual.
And there's a good chance that it could be competing for an award. So
yes.
If it is sold out right now, it might not be sold out if it gets an award. So be sure to check it out if you want to check out A Real Pain.